328 and a half feet on a straight line from Guerrero as he takes over the Major League Baseball lead. And more importantly, he's got bragging rights over the old man forever now, because the most home runs that Vladdy Sr. ever had in a season came in an Expos uniform when he hit 44. Vladdy Jr. gets number 45 at the age of 22. One can only think, and if you're a Blue Jay fan, ponder and wish and be excited about how many he's going to hit once he reaches his prime, whenever that might be.
Yeah, and they're the only father-son combination this millennium, JR, to both hit 40 home runs as MLBstats.com. Did you say 2000, Hammer, or 1999? I hope 2000.
Guerrero 2000, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
All right.
That doesn't seem right from a timeline standpoint. I always think the dad's older than that. But anyways.
Yeah. It's because you're caught in your Expo time warp.
That's true, yeah.
By the way, it was on this day in 1994 that Major League Baseball officially canceled that season with the Montreal Expos in first place. And a lot of people say that was the day that baseball died in Montreal. But we're not here to talk about the past. We're here to talk about the present, and we're here to talk about the Blue Jays. And we welcome to the show our old friend, Keegan Matheson, covers the Jays for MLB.com and joins us this morning on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How are you doing this morning, Keegan?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Excellent. Did you have a stopwatch on how quick that ball from hitting bat to exiting over the outfield fence was last night for Guerrero?
That was amazing. It's with Vladdy, I think that's the closest we've been to a close home run for him. Everything else is no doubt. That was the only one you've had to hold your breath for a little bit.
Keegan, what has been overall just the biggest change in him this year? Is it all the off-season work?
It really is, and I think we're seeing clearly the way that that rolls out on the field. And last year it was all about his fatigue, I think, at certain points. And it's really small how it happens, but if you are tired at the plate, you're slouching a little bit, your shoulders drop, your hands drop, and all of a sudden you're beating the ball into the ground, like we saw Vladdy do 1,000 times in 2019 and 2020. Ground balls were a huge problem, and he just didn't have that energy that you see from him now. But now that he is upright and has that full energy every day, not just the start of the year, but into September, you're seeing what he's capable of. This talent was always there. We saw it in the minor leagues. It's always been there. But now he's able to show it because he's in shape. You know, he admitted last year he was just playing out of shape. It's clear he was, but credit to him, he has turned that around.
The talk in the offseason going into this year, Keegan, was that he wanted to play third base. He has ended up playing first base and defensively, exceptionally so. Do you think that the Blue Jays are now cementing him in as the first baseman going forward, or is there still the potential that at some point he maybe goes back to third?
It's got to be all first base from here. I think I'm surprised that he hasn't even seen the odd inning at third base. What I expected was maybe we would see Vladdy play one game a week at third base, and then if you were shuffling the lineup using pinch hitters, you can slide him across the third, stick somebody else at first in the late innings, but we haven't seen anything like that. This is the first baseman going forward fully and completely. He has looked way better at first base than I expected, but this really plays into his skills. He has incredible hands, and his feet are quick enough around the bag, and that's what you need at first base. And somehow he stretches like he does, which as a fellow big man, fellas, that really makes me cringe every time I see it, but he finds a way.
How much fun is it just to watch his energy, too, where there's a bit of a fine line between having too much fun, but he appears to balance it in every way and still be a great player?
Yeah, he's really showing that flair now, which is good. You know, that's good for Vladdy. It's good for the game. It's viewer-friendly. And we saw so much of that in the minor leagues coming up, and especially when he would go play winter ball in the Dominican Winter League, where that's the best baseball viewing experience you can have. It's half game, half party, but we're seeing that from Vladdy more and seeing really a young man growing into himself. You know, just at 22 years old, I cannot imagine being on a stage like this with these expectations at 22. So I think you're seeing him really embracing that and slowly but surely so showing more of that personality, which is a big one. You know, when you see Vladdy in the clubhouse and away from the field, you see it all the time, but starting to come out more and more, and I think that team around him really helps that happen.
With Keegan Matheson, covers the Blue Jays for MLB.com. So the Jays, Keegan, are on this incredible streak. They've won 12 of 13 in September, 15 of 17. They have gone from also-rans in the wild card race to now leading, I think for the first time all season, by themselves for that first wild card spot. I'm going to ask you an either-or question. What has been more directly contributable to this resurgence? The fact that the bats are getting going again, or the fact that the starting pitching in particular really seems to have settled in?
I think this is about the pitching. That's where it starts. This rotation, guys, has been really good lately. And it reminds me in spring training, when we talk and we preview seasons, I have to remember next spring that everything I'm predicting doesn't really matter. You were looking at Hyunjin Ryu and who else? Well, Robbie Ray came up, and he's going to be a Cy Young candidate now. Steven Matz, we don't talk about much, but he has been fantastic this season most of the time. Alek Manoah was not supposed to be on this team. Jose Berríos, a big addition. This is a really good five-man rotation. We'll see if Ryu can get it back together. That's a key piece. But this is so far away from what the rotation was expected to be. Robbie Ray is the key in all of that. He was supposed to be an unpredictable, kind of frustrating, talented arm. He is one of, if not the best pitchers in the American League this year. So it's difficult to measure just how important that's been, but it's this rotation. Even when the Blue Jays were struggling offensively in August, that kept them above water and kept them in games over and over. They're finally getting rewarded for that.
If they get in, are they good enough to win a World Series?
Anyone can go on a run, and certainly this team is capable of a run. We're seeing that right now. They have to stay this hot late into September and October. I'm never a fan of the peaking too early talk. It's always a good time to peak and have a run. But man, oh man, if there is a team capable of a run that blows through other teams, you are looking at it right now.
As it sits right now, is the potential Achilles team for this team the bullpen?
It is. Look to the postseason when teams are rolling out their best guys over and over and over every day. Right now for the Blue Jays, that is Jordan Romano and Tim Mayza, which is a duo that you feel pretty good about. You know, Tim Mayza, quietly one of the best stories of the season. He's been fantastic. But it's not exactly that three or four deep elite-level bullpen you typically see into the CS and the World Series. So the Blue Jays are either going to have Romano and Mayza pitch perfectly or have somebody else show up. They would love that to be Nate Pearson or Julian Merriweather, but they've got to see that first. At least they have options there, but that group needs to step up. And that back end, I think, is really going to be tested once you start riding them hard.
One-game playoff. Who do you want to see as a matchup, and do you favor them over the Yankees or the Red Sox, if that's what it ends up being?
Over the Yankees or Red Sox, I think that would be a good matchup for the Blue Jays. You'll see how the pitching lands. But I think the Blue Jays have to feel confident against either, really, at this point. For the Red Sox, it's such a strange conversation because you're looking at their COVID numbers as well. Who is healthy? Who's allowed to be playing in that game? But if the rosters are back, normal health at that point, I think the Blue Jays can be confident against either and have played both well. You know, it would be great for them if they could have another taste of the Red Sox down the stretch, but you just saw what they did to the Yankees. That was not just a series sweep, but as dominant as we've seen in years.
With Keegan Mathison from MLB.com, we've had some fun batting around the idea of if and when there is a one-game playoff, who would the Blue Jays start in that one game? If everybody, if they have enough time to rest everybody and they can line it up how they want, would it be at all dependent on who they're facing in terms of the Boston, the Yankees, potentially Seattle, or is there just one guy that stands out in your opinion above others to start that one-game winner-take-all?
I think it just has to be Robbie Ray, period. I know that a team like the Yankees can be right-handed heavy, but at a certain point, a pitcher is so good, that doesn't matter. And in the wild cards, I wish it was a 2 of 3, but when you are playing one game to get in and looking at a game like that, you've got to have Robbie Ray. And I think maybe you can have someone like a Manoah or a Berríos available behind him who give much different looks from the other side. But Robbie Ray has been so good this season, and other than that rough one in Baltimore, which was surprising, he has been so consistent, which really is the most surprising part of all of this. I have written the same story 50 times. Robbie Ray throws 7 innings, allows 2 runs, strikes out 11 over and over and over again, so I think you feel really good about that.
Matt Hamer, our producer, has brought up a little worried about the defense. I guess just thoughts on that down the stretch and into a playoff if they make it.
Yeah, I think that's something that you'll really see under the spotlight now. You know, you see a lot of fundamental errors on the infield. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. will go for an adventure of his in left field. A lot of times that gets covered up in the regular season. If that happens in May and you come back and win, everyone forgets, nobody cares. If that happens in the bottom of the 7th in a wild card game, yikes, you are going to remember it. So that's a reason that the Rays, I think, are a scary team for the Blue Jays, because they play so tight defensively. And that matters so much in the playoffs, not beating yourself. The Blue Jays can still find some ways to beat themselves defensively, better than they were, much better than they were, but still not that elite-level World Series defense.
Hey, Keegan, you're at all the games in Toronto, and you can speak to this by seeing it with your own eyeballs. So last night's announced attendance was 12,119. As we know, any outdoor events in Ontario right now are capped at 15,000. So, you know, you subtract players and staff and everything else from that. But I don't think you get too close to 3,000 when you do that. Are the Jays right now not a hot ticket in as hot as you would think in Toronto? Or what's going on that would it appear that these games are not selling out?
That surprised me last night, seeing the 12,000 number. And last night as well being the first night where the Blue Jays are requiring proof of vaccination, full vaccination to enter the ballpark as well. It's something that did surprise me a bit. I thought that if you even opened this up to 45,000, you would be packing that stadium. Monday, of course, we'll see where those crowd numbers go. The TV numbers, I believe, have been pretty big. And right now, what are the Blue Jays competing against, really? You know, other than when we had U.S. Open, some more international events, Olympics, of course. But hockey has not started up yet, basketball not yet. I know the NFL is going on, but that's not every day, so the Blue Jays should be able to run with this nationally as the main story. We saw how people got behind this team in 15 and 16, where it became not just the number one sports story, but it became the cool place to be. It became a real social destination. So it did surprise me last night, but we'll keep an eye on that this week. I'd expect it to be the hottest ticket in town because it's really one of the only tickets in town.
Some thought that maybe they're just sold out. I know that for that first game Monday when they did return, Keegan, I was like, I won't be able to get a ticket. I was somewhat surprised when I went on that there were some available even on StubHub.
Yeah, I've heard that from other people as well, showing up later to the games and being able to get in. And it's interesting to see in other cities as well. I was just on the road trip in through New York. A lot of those games were not as full as I expected. I mean, Baltimore is Baltimore. There were me and five other people there. That's a different situation. But I think as we get through this, going into the next week, the weekend games especially, it would shock me if these are not sold out, if these are not hot tickets, because this team is really spiking right now.
Yeah. What is in terms of if a max is 15, what is considered to be, if I look at the attendance number, considered to be a sellout in Toronto?
Varies a bit, but some of the sellouts have been in that 14,000 to 14,600 range.
Okay, all right, good stuff. Well, as you said, we'll find out, and if capacity does increase either in the near future or into the month of October when the playoffs start and the Blue Jays are there, if it gets up to the 45,000, yeah, it could escalate quickly with a hot ticket. Appreciate always the time and the insight on the Blue Jays. Thanks for it, and we'll check in again back in with you down the road.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right. There's Keegan Matheson from MLB.com. Covers the Blue Jays down in Toronto. They get another big win last night, 8-1 over the Rays. They are rolling right now.
Yeah, I thought you were looking for a little down-low scoop there. You're going to catch up with them on the down-low when we're down there.
Yeah. Well, no, I got no plans. I went to Toronto so much when my kids were playing sports. I'm like, if I don't have to get in my car and drive to Toronto for the next few months,
yeah,
I'm good.
I don't know. Downtown, I just texted my buddy Barry Taylor, who used to run all the Lone Star Moxies, now has a couple of places downtown. Also, a lot of people visiting said Hotel X that has opened up there that has a beautiful rooftop pool.
Yep.
I got to admit, when you go there now, once you're downtown, that place is full on New York City, like the metropolis, to Hammer pointed out. I don't know how many people live in the condos, but it's just, man, it's incredible over the 30 years, JR, how much that waterfront area has changed, eh? Mm. It's his own little city and so many great restaurants. You just got to get there.
Yeah, you know, and again, I lived in Toronto for 6 years, It's interesting. They've bandied about the idea. I don't know that it's ever come about of if they could ever find a way to bury the Gardner Expressway, which is a bit of a blight, right, on what should be an unbelievable waterfront.
JR, do you want me to go into the history of the Big Dig in Boston?
No, the Big Dig, yeah.
It was Michael Dukakis in 1960. No, it actually was. He was a planner.
You know what, Simmer? Just give us the name of the documentary and we'll all watch it.
I don't think this is a documentary.
What?
It's TV. I'll tell you what, JR. If back in the day, I'll tell you what, I would have been an honor student if it was all TV. I would have, if in middle school and high school, it was nothing but TV, like bad teacher. If Cameron Diaz was my teacher, I would have been all A's.
Wow.
Hey?
If Cameron Diaz was my teacher, I'd be meaning you would be in class every day.
Well, she's a bad teacher, and all she did was show movies
okay,
the whole
gotcha.
Time.
Yes.
But the big dig was Michael Dukakis, and you had been to Boston previous
yes.
to it, right?
Yes.
Remember how ugly?
It was horrendous.
Remember how ugly that looked? The Gardner Spire. Imagine that thing gone.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's underground. Hey, it could be accomplished, but boy, it costs the city of Boston an awful lot of money. Dig up a lot of dead
and
bodies.
And you know if it involves Toronto, huh? The whole province would be paying for it.
Oh, it'd that's
be just
true.
Toronto,
hey,
like they paid
true.
With a Sky Dome.
Yeah.
All right, 9:30. We'll take a break. Hey, if you got a code word into us yesterday, stand by. We could be calling you with the good news that you are our latest winner in our Red Blacks Jersey Monday contest. So stand by. Make sure your phone is on. We could be calling you, so we got that, and much more when we return here on this Tuesday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Coming up 10 o'clock, Steve Bunda, Steve Lloyd will take over alongside Kenny Walls with In the Box. It's Lee and Creature and Matty Valls this afternoon on the drive. AJ's off this week as the Red Blacks run a mini bye as well. And then tonight, Lee has Red Blacks radio show. I think they were talking yesterday about perhaps Richie Leone being a guest tonight because, he completed a pass as a punter on Saturday. There weren't a whole lot of highlights, but as you mentioned earlier this morning, Simmer, with the Red Blacks signing Terrence Williams, former Dallas Cowboy, for 6 seasons yesterday.
Yeah,
I know Lee, Cowboy Boy. Probably try and get him on the
show. Oh, Lee's cruising around the airport with a Lyft sign in his car saying, hey, TW, let's go. We're going down. Got the Romo jersey
can't
on.
Can't go with TW because there's another guy they signed yesterday who goes by Terry Williams. So they signed a Terrence Williams and a Terry Williams yesterday, let alone, of course, the other Williams and the other Davises that are on the team.
Man.
The entire Red Blacks roster apparently could be all guys with that share three surnames at this point.
And better for the trainers and cheaper.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's speaking of the Red Blacks, let's see if we can give away another customized Red Blacks jersey. If you got a code word into us yesterday in our TSN 1200 Red Blacks Jersey Monday contest, stand by. We could be calling you right now.
Jake Davies.
Hey, Jake Davies. JR and Simmer from TSN 1200. How you doing?
Great.
Good. What are you up to this morning?
Just hanging out, listening to the radio.
Oh, nice. You know what? Most people don't answer their phone going first and last names. Most people just go, hello. So what tipped you off to go with a real formal Jake Davies?
I like to make an impression, I guess.
Jake, congratulations. You're our latest winner in our Red Blacks Jersey Monday contest. Way to go.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Big Red Blacks fan?
Yeah, pretty big. Haven't been out there this year, but been to a lot of games way dating back to the 70s, I guess.
Wow. Okay. We're going old. So who's your favorite? You can say Jeff Avery, by the way, if we're going back to the 70s. Who was your favorite Rough Rider player?
I would probably have to say Tony Gabriel. He must have signed about 20 napkins for me over the years that I lost every single one of. But, so I got to pick him.
All right. What do you think of name and number for the jersey?
You know what? I was thinking about that earlier. I do like that Avery Williams guy.
Mm-hmm.
But after you mentioned
a lot of Williams on the team
Tony
now.
Gabriel memories.
You
I'm
could go.
I might do that.
You could go Gabriel 77. Absolutely. That's old school. That's throwback. And I've seen a few in the stands at TD Place over the past few years as well. So anyway, you'll have lots of time to ponder it. Jake, you're our latest winner in our Red Blacks Jersey Monday contest. You have won your very own custom Red Blacks jersey. We'll do it up however you like, and you'll be able to wear it whenever you get up to the next Red Blacks game. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. I've been playing this game for a while, so that's pretty exciting for me.
There you go. All right. Way to go, Jake. And we'll do it again coming up next Monday. And here's a reminder coming up this Friday here on TSN 1200. We will have another all-day Red Blacks ticket giveaway. Their next game comes up next Wednesday. They've got the old rare Wednesday night home game. It is a... Well, What did I dub it yesterday? I didn't go with it's close to a must-win as a must-win can be without must.
No, it's just an absolute must-win.
It's an absolute must-win next week against Hamilton, and they got any hopes of making the playoffs.
Yeah. And on those giveaways, JR, I should just be Ed McMahon on the sauce, because all I really have to do is chime in with the name and number. You know, like Ed would sit there while Johnny would work the show.
Yes!
With the Coke bottle glasses on.
Yes!
Sauce straight up.
Yes! Restaurant faulty! Done all my impressions.
Hey, you've done your greatest hits here, for crying out loud. You're out. You're done.
I want to go back to Simmer's Richard Gere Day of the Jackal Irish accent there. Top of the morning. It's all good. All right, so we'll do that on Friday, starting at 7 a.m. and right through to 5 p.m. Pair of tickets to see the Red Blacks and the Ticats next Wednesday at TD Place Stadium. That is the next game for the Red Blacks. They're on a mini bye this week. But again, some new faces coming into town. I should mention Kenny Stafford would be the most familiar to those of you who follow the CFL. Has played 7 years into the league. He's been signed as well. So presumably when they get back to practice, which is not going to be until Saturday, we'll find out how quickly they can get up to speed and whether we'll see any of these guys in the lineup next week. All right, NFL last night, Raiders beat the Ravens in overtime, 33-27. It was a great capper to a pretty good first week of the NFL. In fact, a very good first week. We saw a lot of tremendously exciting games. That may have been, well, according to Hammer's son, who's a Raider fan, the game of the weekend. Not sure if we all necessarily would concur. If you're a Bucs fan, you'd be happy with the win over the Cowboys. If you're a Chiefs fan, happy with the win over the Browns. There were several good games, but that was maybe because of the drama and overtime and how crazy the overtime was. Maybe that will go down as the game of the weekend.
I think the two fan bases probably over the top, JR, would you agree, from the weekend would be Saints and Cardinals?
Cardinals for sure. Saints, yes. Yeah, I agree with that.
Cardinals, the way they came out. And every time
maybe the fight in Philadelphia Eagles
as
well.
That's true. No, not disagreeing. Steelers, you go lots of other ones. But I kept watching. Every time I watched Tannehill play, he was just on fire when he first got traded to Tennessee, right? And that's when he got the big contract. I always just keep thinking, did you hear that offseason quote about Tom Brady? Because Tom Brady, they've identified that his Tennessee is the team that turned him down, that didn't want to sign him.
Yes.
And he has that classic cozy, got to be effing kidding me. They're going with that guy?
Right.
And he, boy.
Tannehill's been pretty good.
Oh, he actually has been real good. And the other night, well, there's nothing he or Henry could do, but they were in his kitchen. They were just all over him on Sunday.
Congratulations to our Week 1 NFL Pick 'em Pool winner. We had a three-way tie for first place with 20 points. So it came down to the tiebreaker, and this is always a reminder for you to make sure you fill in the tiebreaker, which is the total points in the Monday night game. The very last thing you'll see before you click Save Picks. And congratulations to our winner. What are you looking at me like that for?
I'm just waiting for you to announce the winner's name. Either they might be in school right now, so they won't hear it, but once you announce it...
Hang on, I'm trying to find the email from the third party, which runs this for us.
What, do they make here. Some crack
do they
about
actually,
it?
No. Do they have to email on their handle?
No, they email me.
Okay.
Because they run it and they say it's nothing is official for a week.
Okay.
Because you
got to
make sure, I don't know, any crazy thing. So it's always unofficial for a week.
Yeah.
But it says... unofficial until next week, as per our usual protocol from previous years. And then in capital letters, it writes, caution is advised when using this display name.
Oh, wow.
So this would be our winner is Paul from Embrun, who has gone with the team name of Lover of Big Boobs.
Yeah.
That is what he chose for his team name.
Yeah.
And
just go with an acronym or something, and then we can all just guess
on what
it is.
And also, JR, when do you get the email after you make your picks on Monday? Do they notify you right away? Like, do you have to pretend? Like, you don't want to get perfect on the test, right? Hey,
again, right? To reiterate, I did
need a couple wrong answers.
I did make
that's what you have to do, Hammer, though. If a perfect score, then you're in some trouble.
I did make my picks. I finally got my email saying I made my picks halfway through the game last night. I don't know why that was.
Wow.
It ends up that I got 15 points, nowhere close to the listener lead, but certainly well ahead of you guys in week one.
That's
so
why
I have won the first of 17 weeks in the Pico Pizza football pick 'em pool. that we're going to have.
Well, and that's also Hammerhead. We've been had we been at 17 or 18, he would have suddenly slid in at 19. That's an automatic.
No, Hammer has a copy of the email. He's seen my picks. Okay. You can add up the total. I'm at 15.
You did send it to me. You're still zero for the official count, though.
All right. Your zero. Opportunity to get your week two picks is already up and online at tsn1200.ca. Click on the Fit Football Pool Pick 'em Pool banner and fill out your picks. And yeah, absolutely free to enter. It's a brand new game every week. We just do it straight up. There's no lines or anything like that. If you just want to go with, I don't know, best logo, nicest color, whatever, or you actually want to break it down football wise. Make sure you do it. Get your picks in before Thursday, 8 p.m. First game this week, the Thursday nighter, is the, well, turns out to be a pretty big game because we had two teams that lost their first game. Do not want to start 0-2. Yeah. Giants at Washington, and the Washington football team found out yesterday Ryan Fitzpatrick, their quarterback, will be out 6 to 8 weeks with a hip injury. So Taylor Heinicke, you're the man, and they've already said, by the way, we're not going to go out and sign anybody else. No Cam Newton, no anybody else. Yeah. Taylor's team.
Yeah, oh, I mean, and Newton can't play, JR, so you might as well go with it. And I guess from the Washington football team, almost there, they can survive on that defense alone, can they not? Just if you manage the ball?
They'll be competitive, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. And again, the news came out on Friday, I believe. The Sens put out the news, as many other teams have, that they are their expectation is they will be allowed to be at full capacity by the time the regular season rolls around in mid-October. Fans will have to be double vaxxed to be allowed in, and you will have to obviously show your proof of vaccination, and you will have to be, other than I guess when you're eating or drinking, be fully masked while you're watching the game. We'll be interested to see how much they enforce that, because that has, you know, if you watch fans, and I'm not talking about games in the States, I'm talking about, you know, things you see. And again, outdoors with the CFL, I guess that's the nearest example we'd have right now. Yeah. I don't see much mask enforcement going on. So we'll see. This is, again, indoors. We'll see if that ends up being enforced or not. But that is what the team says they will be doing. So our question is this. If the Sens are allowed full capacity, will you attend games? So this speaks to how you're just feeling from a personal comfort point of view about going into a building which could have as many as 18,500 people in it. I think that all teams, no matter the sport, especially those indoors, but even outdoors, I think that's a question they all ask themselves. And when they open up the ticket buying online store, they're kind of wondering, what response are we going to get? So it will be interesting to see if and when the Sens start their season, if it is at full capacity.
Yeah, for sure.
Are they going to be full? Attendance was an issue the last time based on the on-ice play. I think there's a lot of excitement in the market about the team right now at this stage. But again, the overarching story as well is the pandemic and that part of it as well.
Well, and also just economy, JR. Where is Ottawa? Not as bad, but with inflation, other things that are happening. The other part, I don't care what team you are, if you're Ottawa, you'd almost want this gradually, in a sense of you work all summer in a general year. If you've got 19,000 in inventory to sell season tickets, to sell individual, I don't expect all of a sudden there to be a run on that they're going to sell at the building, no matter how good they're doing. So, hey, it's a process. It'll take some time. To me, I have absolute confidence. I have no issue. And I would love to see somebody throw down a foot-long dog along with a king can while they got their mask on. I think if you're talking about something that would be on the screen, like, would that not be an automatic contest right there? Eating through your mask, or eating while you're, what you do is you have to have the entire hot dog, but you put the mask over the foot long, and then you it just pushes it right into your mouth, and you got to be able to take the whole foot long with a king can.
Trying to picture that. I'm not sure that's going to work.
Don't picture that.
Has anybody come up with a mask where it's got an actual hole where your mouth goes? No, hang on now. Hang on.
These visuals are disgusting.
There's Velcro.
Yeah.
So that keeps it cinched up tight. So when you're just sitting normally and not eating, it's should be fully safe and everything. It's all Velcroed up. But then when you want to jam a hot dog in there, you just shove it through the Velcroed hole.
How about, though, you have an extension on your mask where the hot dog is actually wrapped by the protective netting, and so it's in a holding area.
What?
Yeah, it's in a holding area, and you just push it. You push every time you want to take a bite. And then you also, what would be solid air, I need to get those beer beer helmets back, the ones that drain from the tops. Yeah. So there you go right there. So you have your own system. And your system is almost like a beekeeper, right? You're going to be dressed like a beekeeper. So you got all your food system. You might even have the chair of the commercial guy that has his cats and has his hot dogs right in the arm of his chair, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have it all of it right there. And then you just sit in the game very comfortably and just eat and drink. You probably have a urination system too. You know, just you probably have something you don't have to leave.
The beekeeper outfit is large enough for that.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
The results of our vote so far, and again, the question is this: if the Sens are allowed full capacity, will you attend games? And right now, and this would be music to the ears of the Sens and every other NHL team if similar fan bases followed, it's 79% yes, 21% no. Some of the feedback on our Twitter poll this morning. Sens hockey tweets, as much as I didn't think I'd be the one to say this, as long as everyone is fully vaxxed, I'll be there. The risk of having 15,000 plus fans in one place is high not to have vaccine mandates in place. So there's one reaction. You're going to see the same thing. Oh, somebody sent us a pair. They've already bought tickets to see the Sens in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I think the Sens tickets go on sale this morning, do they not, Jer?
I had single game tickets.
Yeah, the only reason, when I went downstairs to do the sports with Leslie, they were going to preview that. I don't know if they were having a goodie on or whatever, but I think today is the day they open up the box office anyway.
Jimmy writes, as long as proof of vaccination is required to enter, 100%, it'll be awesome to be back. That comes from, so that's a couple of the reaction pieces so far.
Yeah.
Love to get your votes at tsn1200.ca.
Yeah, I haven't done a ton of time at the mall, but I had to return a little Lululemon the other day. Went through, and I don't really understand why being in the mall is any different than being in a hockey game, and I personally have absolute confidence and super pumped for Friday or Saturday at 4 p.m., a little rookie action.
Yeah, somebody asked, I got a few questions about that, whether Saturday, and at this point again, anything indoors is still capped at 1,000 people, and there's no word from, again, things can change at the drop of a hat, but the Ontario government is going to change things in time for Saturday, let's say, and the prospect game, but they are allowing fans in the game. It'll be limited to 1,000. My understanding through the various things I've seen from the Sens that it will be limited to season ticket holders for the 1,000 capacity at that game coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you can't get to the game, we'll have it for you here on TSN 1200. Dean Brown and Gord Wilson are champing at the bit to get some play-by-play things going. So they'll be there 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon for game one of two, Sens prospects versus the Habs prospects. Game one here in Ottawa, game two back in Montreal. At the Habs practice facility will go on Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
And think of from 2017 going all the way to the third round game 7, JR. For Dino and Goody, of teams not making the playoffs along with COVID, of talk about a roller coaster schedule they've been on, right? So it'd be nice to get back to normal and hopefully get back to being a playoff team again.
All right, so again, development camp wrapped up for the Sens yesterday. It's, I think, a bit of an off day today, and then everybody's back for rookie camp. So you're asking, what's the difference between development camp and rookie camp? Development camp is mainly just skills-based, and this will be more of a practice, regular practice-based thing to get them ready. Troy Mann is going to be running the team throughout the for the two rookie games, so he'll be running the practices. That starts tomorrow. All right, we'll take a break and back with a final segment before we turn things over to the boys from In the Box coming up on TSN 1200. Come back, final segment. Birthday list today. Harry Sinden celebrating a birthday today, born in 1932, which I think would make him 89 years old today. Of course, front and center with Team Canada way back in 1972 and Boston Bruins for a long, long time.
Yeah, member of the Oshawa Whitby Hall of Fame. That's where he's from, JR, and watched Game 8 over the weekend. So he was right behind the bench coaching, which I always thought of him as a general manager, obviously, in his Boston days, and quite the character.
Happy birthday, too, and here's an eclectic mix from a bunch of sports. Okay. Alex Killorn of the Lightning is 32, as is Tony Finau, the golfer, is 32, as is Jimmy Butler. The Miami Heat, also 32 years old today. We went through, this is an anniversary day of sorts for a couple of World Cup of Hockey clinching games, the U.S. in 96, Canada in 2004. It's also this day in 2014, the Ottawa Senators named Jason Spezza as their new captain.
Well, only 1 year?
Only lasted, 1 year before he got moved on. Was it 2014 or 13, now that I think about it? Because Alfie left in 2013, right?
Maybe it was 2000. Maybe I wrote down the date wrong. Anyway, it was only for a year. That part we do know is true.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, we'll put a wrap on the show.